Google joins the race for your wallet. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Suping Chan. Good morning. We start with Germany, where Europe's biggest economy has narrowly avoided recession. But the dark clouds hanging over the global economy remain, as the BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker explains.
Germany has narrowly avoided a recession, as the term is often defined, two consecutive quarters of declining economic activity. The economy did grow, but it was a very weak 0.1% after a contraction in the previous period. Japan, too, experienced very weak growth, and there was further evidence of slowing expansion in new data from China. Trade is important to all three economies, and they've been affected by the weakness of international commerce that has followed the escalation of trade tensions since President Trump took office. Germany surprised many economists by recording some growth in sales abroad in the new figures, though the risks to exporters remain. Japanese exports, however, were lower, and the slowing growth of investment and industrial output in China is also consistent with an economy feeling the impact of trade conflict. In London, I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. BHP Billiton shares are down after the world's biggest miner announced a company insider would take over as chief executive. Meanwhile, Burberry jumped as much as 11% due to strong sales in the third quarter. And Hong Kong's stock market closed 1% lower as schools remained shut. Google has become the latest big tech firm to move into banking by offering what it calls smart checking accounts. Facebook, Uber, Apple and Amazon are also vying for a slice of your wallet with their own payment systems and credit cards. But the US is definitely late to the party. Nigel Vaz at consultancy Publicis Sapient says China is the most advanced country when it comes to online financial services.
Well, I think Google's doing this because, you know, China's actually proven a model that shows how powerful it can be when you start to connect data and commerce and finance. I think about China as the Wakanda of the payments and consumer financial services ecosystem right now, and there's nobody in the West that has that kind of scale.
Payments giants like Alipay, WeChat Pay, they're already light years ahead. What can the likes of Google learn from the Alibabas of this world?
Essentially, what they've started to become is, you know, what's often talked about as being a super app. But a super app is nothing but an ecosystem. And if you look at most Western companies, they're far from being an ecosystem. They're all working pretty hard to try and get there. But, you know, they're far from that. And of course, there's lots of things that are way of that, most of which is, frankly, consumer skepticism about trusting data and in particular financial and medical data to the big technology firms that have historically not proven themselves worthy of that trust, which I do think is a shift in the experience that the Western firms are going to have to grapple with compared to Chinese consumers, where in large part the government has enabled the duopoly that dominates the internet there.
Trust is a big issue, isn't it? Because Google already knows so much about us. Do you think Western consumers will ultimately trust it with banking services?
One of the things that we've seen time and time again is as much there are huge concerns about data and about privacy, consumers will almost always choose convenience over everything else. And I believe including trust.
Nigel, would you open a Google bank account?
At this time, no.
Why?
Because I feel like with Apple, I've got a company that primarily doesn't trade in data as its core proposition.
So convenience is king for a lot of people, but not for you. Nigel Vaz, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What's the best way to tackle the issue of unequal pay? According to some here in the UK, everyone should have the right to know what their colleagues are paid. While it may be controversial, Sweden's been doing it since 1905, and it's also leading the world when it comes to closing the gender pay gap. Åsa Pia Jadelin Bergström is an economist at the Trade Union Confederation in Stockholm. She says collective bargaining is key.
We have a quite high degree of organization in unions here in Sweden. So they have all the information and they can compare the salaries between male and female, men and women, and different categories of workers at the workplace to get the result that they want. For example, for the blue collar workers, they want to have a smaller difference between men and women. And so they have that goal when they negotiate the salaries.
Are people in Sweden happy to talk about how much they are paid? And does that contribute to more equal pay among the sexes?
I think among the workers that we organize, the blue collar workers, I think it's a big issue and people talk about it a lot because they are among the people that have the minimum salaries, the minimum wages, the lowest wages in the market. And it's a very big issue for them. Maybe it's natural that people that are more high income earners don't are more reluctant to talk about pay.
And has talking about pay more and making it more transparent led to more equal pay?
I think it's a part of a bigger picture in Sweden where trade unions has been historically and still are playing a big role in keeping track of how much their members earn and the difference between different categories of workers, difference between sexes, and having goals to lessen inequality. And it has been successful, that kind of work. And I mean, to have that kind of progress, you need to have access to the actual wage, the information about actual wages.
Åsa Pia Järdenbergström, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Finally, parts of South Korea have fallen silent as 500,000 students take an 8-hour university entrance exam, which can determine their future. The government has halted some flights and stopped construction work to keep noise to a minimum. Shops, offices, banks and even the stock market delayed opening by an hour to ease traffic congestion and allow students to arrive on time. In London, I'm Soo Ping Chan with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.